Welcome to the Way Fellowship Church of Dallas podcast series. Please enjoy this message by our own senior pastor, Tavares Gardner.
Look at verse 3. It said, Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph. A beautiful robe. Everybody say a beautiful robe. Verse 4, but his brothers hated him. What was it? His brothers did what? Because Joseph, their father, they hated Joseph because their father loved Jacob more than the rest of them. They couldn't even say a kind word to him. Verse 8 said his brothers responded. This is after a dream that he told them. So you think you're going to be our king? Really? Is that so? Do you actually think you're going to reign over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way that he talked about them. Verse 23, so when Joseph arrived, his brothers ripped off the beautiful robe he was wearing. They grabbed him and threw him into the cistern. Now, the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. So they just threw the boy down in the dry well. Everybody holler out, reject it. You know, it's something when your own family do you in. It's something when your own family, because let me tell you something, most of our rejection issues that we are dealing with or suffering with even now in our adulthood is because of family. I'm sorry to tell you that most of our issues have come from family. Because we were not nurtured properly as children, we grew up in a rejected state. And I'm sorry that most of us have had to deal with some injustices dealt with us by our parents. I'm sorry. But just because you are rejected by your earthly parents, I want you to know that you are accepted by your spiritual Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died. And guess what? If you're dealing with rejection, touch your neighbor and say, you're not the only one that has dealt with rejection. And tell him, you won't be the last one either. Do y'all know there was a man named Jesus? The Bible declares in Isaiah, he was despised and rejected. What? Jesus was what? He was despised and rejected, and he was the chosen child. Which I've said before, and I must say it again. Chosen people. The one that God has handpicked to be world changers will be and have been rejected. I wish you would touch your neighbors and tell them, just say, hey, look at me. I am a world changer. Come on, I said, look at your neighbor, eyeball, and tell them, even if you don't feel like one, just say it, hallelujah. Just tell them, I am a world changer. I am a world changer. Hallelujah. And I've been through a lot. Tell them I've been rejected. I've been despised. I've been cast away. I can't hear nobody. But God still has his hand on me. I can't hear nobody say nothing. I said, touch your neighbor and say, God still has his hand on me. I don't care how people have treated me. God still has his hand on me. You may think that I'm trash, but I'm God's treasure. You may be seated. I want you to post that. I want to post that on your Facebook or your Twitter and your Instagram. Make something real quick. I'm going to give you about 5 minutes and tell everybody and their mama that's looking at your Facebook. Tell them I may have been, hallelujah, I may be somebody's trash, but I'm God's treasure. And the truth of the matter may be, I used to tell this to a young man that I was mentoring. I said, could it be that your father rejected you because, I don't know about you, but I've gotten some things. We get packages at our house quite often, and sometimes on the box it says fragile, handle with care. And could it be that God allowed some rejections to come from our parents because we're so fragile, we're so fearfully and wonderfully made that they can't handle us? Hallelujah. So God actually, oh my God, I just heard this. So maybe sometimes God will use rejection as protection from wrong hands handling you. Did you hear what I said? So I've been looking at rejection wrong. So rejection could be God's protection from keeping me from wrong hands. Because everybody can't handle you. Touch your neighbor and say, everybody can't handle this. No. I said, everybody can't handle this. Come on. Do your hand. Everybody can't handle all of this. This is too much to handle. And the right people have to have that. Oh, my God. I can't hear nobody say nothing. The right people got to be able to handle with care. So, yeah, that thing just hit me, y'all. I'm glad some people rejected me. It was protection from wrong hands. Oh, Lord, I just got a whole revelation. Lord, that blessed me. I'm done. I can go home on that one. Rejection was God's protection for me. So those of you that were rejected at school, they didn't think you was good enough. And now, Lord have mercy, I see some of my classmates, we graduated in 1994. Some of them look like they graduated in 1950. They so old and broke down. And they said, Tavares, you still look good. I know. He said, it beautified the meek with salvation. You still look the same. I know, because I'm saved and sanctified. And he has saved me. Hallelujah. He has preserved me while y'all looking like dried up prunes. I said that. I said, some of my classmates look like dried up prune, like they've been weather beaten. I can hear nothing, like they've been outside in the yard for all their life. Wrinkle, I can't hear nobody say nothing. Ugly, here I am, 42 years old, still looking good like I'm 20 something. I can't hear nobody say nothing. Y'all ain't got to say it, I say it myself. Pastor Vincent, go on outside. I don't need no shade. It's already shady over there where you're standing. I bind you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I boast in the Lord. Mama said, boast in the Lord. He beautifies the meek with salvation. That's why if you're not saved, you need to get saved so you can start looking pretty and handsome. Ain't nothing worse than somebody a sinner and ugly and got an ugly attitude. I'm like, you got two negatives. Come on, let's get a positive in there somewhere. Come on, get saved and so God can beautify you. What y'all laughing for? I'm telling the truth. Have you ever seen ugly people have an ugly attitude? I'm like, you too ugly to be nasty. That's a double negative. No, don't do that. Don't be like that. Don't, no, that's not proper. It's not proper. Not proper. It's not proper at all. It's very disrespectful. So I want to talk about, I have something that the Lord has been dealing with me about for at least about 2 weeks. But I'm going to hit something first before we go here, because I just discovered something today while I was in the office. I bought another book. I'm a book collector. Jesus have mercy. Especially when I'm teaching on a subject, I like books. I like to find as many books as I can. But I want to tell you something right quick that I didn't even think about, but I have said this phrase of my own self. There is something called generational rejection. Listen, rejection can be passed down through generations of a family. Listen, parents who have suffered from hereditary rejection or who have been rejected before marriage find it hard to show love and affection to their children. Listen, of course they love their children, but because they don't come from a family that showed physical affection or said, I love you, I'm proud of you, or other expressions of worth and value, they are unable to express love through physical contact. It is not uncommon to hear a parent say, and I said this, it is not uncommon to hear a parent say, we are not an affectionate family. We don't kiss and hug at all over each other. This is sometimes read as, listen, this is what we're actually saying. There is something shameful about physical affection. Therefore, we are embarrassed to express any type of physical affection. I've said this. The Gardner family, I've said this. We don't do all that hugging and stuff. When we come together, we may hug, but it ain't no hug like I learned from the Gann family. Now, if you grew up around the Gann family, if you've been at True Way before it was the Way, and even when it was the Way, when Bishop Frederick Gant was here, he was a hugger. He loved to hug people. He loved to hug people. And you know, coming from the background that I come from, that type of hug, you know, I have to differentiate. No, that ain't that type of hug. Come on here. So I had to get my mind right that he didn't want nothing from me. I wish I had some help. That's when I started experiencing true love from a real father. I can't hear nobody. Because he loved me. He hugged me a lot. He always told me he was proud of me. Because I very seldom did I get that at home. So it was nice to come to church or even go to their house and get it from them. And I wasn't even a part of the family yet. Oh. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? So parents, we've got to break this generational thing, because I know most of us have come from dysfunctional background, dysfunctional family. We didn't do no hugging. We didn't tell. We barely said, I'm proud of you. Only time we said, I'm proud of you if you made A's. Even if you make C's and that's the best that your child can do, you still need to give some positive affirmations to your children. Don't tell them you dumb and stupid. Hallelujah. Because if they dumb and stupid, it's a reflection of you. I said that. I did. I sure did. And though material things such as gifts, clothes, and nice bedroom and toys are used to show love, some children will still grow up feeling rejected and insecure, because gifts do not replace affection. But now we have a society of children. I can't hear nobody say nothing. All they want is give me. Will you buy me an iPhone? Will you buy me an iPhone 10? I'm seeing little children. I can't hear nobody that ain't even got no job. I can't hear nobody got an iPhone 10 and I still got an iPhone 8. I can't hear nobody say nothing. You got a phone better than me. What's wrong with that picture? You can't even spell. You're buying them all these gifts. I can't hear nobody. But you're not spending quality time with them. And it's making them feel rejected. I can't hear nobody. And then you wonder why they start hanging out with the wrong crowd. I can't hear nobody. Because they feel in love and acceptance from the wrong people. I can't hear nobody. Because you too busy trying to work. I can't hear nobody. Trying to pay the mortgage. Trying to do all this other stuff. You ain't got time when you come home to spend time with your children. Because you're so tired and worn out from the workhouse. And lo and behold, you got 2 and 3 jobs. And both parents are working. And the children are latchkey parents. Latchkey kids coming home, they doing homework by themselves, and they got to take care of their brothers and sisters and make sure they're doing their homework. They become the parent while y'all out working. I can't hear nobody say nothing. And now we got a whole family cycle of dysfunction and rejection. Hallelujah. Why mom and dad? And every Christmas you buying them all these gifts to replace your affection, because when you get home, you too tired to hug them. It needs to stop. Gifts do not replace affection, physical touch. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Jesus. Rejection can also come, and then I'm moving on. From involuntary physical characteristics. What are you talking about? The African American community have suffered much rejection from the hands of other wannabe called superior races. So being a part of a racial minority, we've suffered rejection. Suffering from speech impediments, such as a stuttering or stammering or lisping. You know, people have, we've all done it. We make fun of people's deformity. If someone has a lift, you'll be trying, and it seems funny, we'll be trying to be at home. We'll be at home trying to mock them. And that is wrong. You don't make fun of people's inadequacies or the inability to pronounce certain consonants or words. You know, you can't pronounce that word. Sometimes y'all be laughing at me. Y'all be trying to help me though, but you know, I don't know every word, and I don't get them right either. I just said the best that I can. And even though it's comical sometimes, the hallelujah, but just imagine if somebody had insecurities about speaking in front of y'all. Do you know some people are literally petrified and terrified to get up before y'all because they worried about what y'all going to think, how they going to pronounce words and all this other kind of stuff? And everybody got to go through this freight. I can't hear nobody say nothing. Public speaking was, I had a class on speech and public speaking. That terrified me. I had no idea that God was preparing me in the eighth grade, hallelujah, to be up in front of y'all. I had to write speeches and all. What? I had no idea I would be doing this. Being teased or bullied, called names because of your uncommon physical features. Is that anybody in this room? You've been bullied because of your uncommon features. You're too fat. You're too skinny. Lo and behold, you're too skinny. Why you can't gain no weight? Well, and I be wanting to say, well, why you gain a lot of weight? What you worried about me for? Your head big. Oh, I got a lot to think about. They always call, even in high school, they said, you got a big old head. I said, I got a lot to think about. Keep on messing with my head, but you. Come for me if you want to. Go on back. I ain't called for you, so don't come. All right? Listen. Being teased or bullied or called names because of uncommon, you know. And the other thing about it, when I was in school, I was always dressed up. I always liked to dress when I was at school. So people, oh, he must be gay. You always dressed up because I didn't look like y'all. And so when you dare to be different, you're labeled as a freak, a homosexual. It was either, you must be gay. Even when I was on my job, I was always dressed nice on my job. I can't hear nobody say nothing. And then, you know, people, the women and the men, it was like, oh, he must be gay because he always dressed up. No, I just refused to look like a ninja. I couldn't say that other word because, but y'all get what I'm saying. I wasn't going to work with my pants sagging and my pants so starched they stand up by themselves. And you got to get on the bed or on the floor to get in them starched jeans. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Come on here. Because I dare to be different, I was always labeled as a freak. Being teased, bullied, or called names because of uncommon physical features. Let me tell you, from school, you can be rejected from school, church, and other social groups. Being expelled from school for bad behavior. Being excluded from a desired social group. For instance, for example, the social kids in school. No, there were little cliques in school. The girls had their little cliques and the guys had their little cliques. And if you weren't in that clique, they rejected you. Or they look at you funny. I can hear about it. And even got cliques in the church. If you ain't a part of this denomination, you ain't nothing. You ain't a part of this church, you ain't nothing. It's in the church. It's in the church. Or even if you're in the church and there's a little group that you want to be a part of, and they don't want you, I'm talking about inside the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm talking about. In the church, there are cliques in the church. There are little special groups in the church. Hallelujah. I can't hear nobody say nothing. It's like a secret society. I can't hear nobody say nothing. And you got to be elite to be up in this group. Shut your mouth and get delivered. I'm talking about in the church, in the church, in the church, in the church, in the church. I want to tell you something, and I got to move on. I really got to move on because I got to hit this other subject, and I'm bringing somebody on the stage with me in just a few moments. Another way that we, and Stephanie, don't worry about it, it's not you, so you'd be like, oh, Lord. Her heart start beating fast. She's like, oh, he didn't tell me this. Another way that we can become tormented by rejection is through abuse or trauma. Everybody say abuse or trauma. If you have been abused like I was, sexual abuse, that opens the door for rejection to come in. Physical, sexual, and verbal abuse are some of the most damaging things a person can go through. These experiences can leave scars on a person's emotions to the point that some fail to develop and mature past the point in their life that they have been abused. So some of us that have been abused, you're still stuck mentally at 6 and you're 50, but you still got the mind and the mentality of a 6-year-old. And it's in the church. So your mind has not developed. And let me tell you something else. Rejection causes double-mindedness. The Bible says in James, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You can't ever make a decision. You make a decision, then you change. You say, one minute, oh, and I see it so much in the church, especially among gifted folks. The Lord said, the Lord sent me here. The Lord told me to say this. Everything the Lord said, and then within 24 hours, well, I don't have that mind no more. Then you make it feel like God is schizophrenic. The Lord sent me to the way. Now, something go wrong. Now the Lord didn't change his mind. What happened to that same God that told you to come here? It got too hot and you couldn't stand it. So you ran your tail up out of here. Because God confronts things. This house confronts real issues. And when real issues are confronted, you either going to tuck your tail and run. I can tuck your tail and run. Or you going to stay and take it and get delivered. Because it's real here. It's real here. Because you got a real leader that experiences real things and he shares his life with you all so you can be delivered. And let me tell you, truth hurts. Touch your neighbor and say, truth hurts. But it's good for you and ain't going to kill you. It's those lies that you believe in that's going to kill you. Touch your neighbor and say, those lies going to kill you. Those lies will kill you. So listen. These experiences can leave scars on a person's emotion to the point that some fail to develop and mature past the point in their life that the abuse occurred. They become stuck and unable to move past the season in their life. Abuse opens the door, listen, opens the door to various manifestations of rejection, such as self-rejection, self-hate. You hate yourself. You reject your own self. You talk so negative about yourself, nobody even have to say anything to you because you already believe it about yourself anyway. You look in the mirror, you say, I'm ugly. When the word of the Lord says you are beautifully and fearfully and wonderfully made, but you believe the lie versus the truth. The truth is the word of God. So you have self-rejection, self-hate, where the person either takes on self-destructive behaviors such as cutting, such as eating disorders. Listen, or develops a spirit of infirmity. Many people in the body of Christ are sick because of the spirit of infirmity, but the root is rejection. Why are so many people losing their minds in the body of Christ? I'm talking about saved, Holy Ghost filled folks. Why are they suffering with Alzheimer's and dementia? Something is wrong somewhere. I bet you if you really start digging down deep, I can't hear nobody say nothing. The root is rejection. Why is cancer running rampant in the body of Christ? Why is all these sicknesses and disease, and we say we can serve a God, that what is going on? Somewhere there's a root of rejection. Somewhere we have allowed the enemy, not God, we have allowed the enemy to come on in. And that's why you have no business trying to worry about somebody else. You got 365 days to be trying to figure out what's wrong with me. You need to be constantly asking the Lord, Lord, help me, fix me. Lord, if you find anything that ain't like you, take it out. Lord, tell me what's wrong with me. Lord, hallelujah, I'm looking in the Bible, and the Bible is my mirror, and if I ain't lining up to what that Bible said, I need to be on the altar all the time. Now, the altar has become so sophisticated. When the altar is a nasty place, look in the Old Testament. The altar was full of blood and flesh and death. I can't hear about it. And now we've made the altar as a mausoleum. I can't hear about it. Don't touch the altar, honey. This is sacred. No, you need to put your nasty self on the sacred altar and so you can become sacred. I don't want nobody to know nothing about me. Don't nobody care. Thinking about you. When I come to the house of the Lord, I am concerned about doing what God has commissioned me and called me to. I ain't got time to be worried about Nene and them and Shemama and them. I ain't got time to be worried about them. I just made that up. I was trying to say Shanene and Shemama, and Shanene and Mama came out at the same time. Yeah. Yeah. Some of you can't even get into the service because you got so much on your mind. An individual can also develop a broken heart, finding it difficult to sustain healthy relationships with others and impossible to move past the memory of events. Without strong prayer and deliverance, many can find themselves to be what has been called unlucky in love. Yeah. I said that. Demons can enter our lives through traumatic experiences. Webster Dictionary defines trauma as a disordered psychic or behavioral state resulting from severe mental or emotional stress or physical injury. Trauma. And sometimes trauma can be large, way down deep in our large and small intestines. And sometimes that's why when we are administering deliverance, we put our hands on your stomach region to call them things up and out. That's large, way down deep. All right. In dealing with people who have, there's a descending series of negative emotions or attitude that goes like this. There's a list that I'm about to call out. Listen. Rejection after rejection is loneliness. I said this a few weeks ago. Then after loneliness is self-pity. After self-pity is misery. You want to write this down. You want to write this down. You want to write it down. Rejection. Loneliness. Self-pity. Misery. Depression. Despair or hopelessness. Death or suicide. If you need me to repeat those, say, please repeat. Oh, Jesus. Rejection, loneliness, self-pity, misery, depression, despair or hopelessness, death or suicide. I'll say it one more time. Rejection, loneliness, self-pity, misery, depression, despair or hopelessness. The last one is death or suicide. The final result, which is death or suicide, is very tragic. Many, of course, stop short of it, yet it is the logical outcome of the process that is set in motion by rejection. Depression, suicide, misery, self-pity, loneliness. Listen, the root of the matter is what? Rejection. I feel the Holy Ghost. Whether it takes the form of death or suicide, listen, depends on the emotional makeup of each person. Someone whose reactions are essentially passive will ultimately succumb to death. Rejection is, in fact, a contributing factor in many deaths that are attributed merely to natural causes. Listen, a person who follows the path to death has an inner desire to die. Have you ever made a remark such as I have made when I've gotten mad and when things were not going well and I was in a depressed state? I've said, I'm better off dead. How many people have said that out of their own mouths? Come on, come on. Lift your hands. Don't lie. Lift your hands if you said it. I've said that. I've said that. And I've had to renounce those words because you open up a door to the spirit of death. I've said it in the heat of anger, and I've had to retract those words. I've had to apply the blood of Jesus to cancel out Satan's assignment to make me even say those words out my mouth. Because what you start doing is, when you start saying those words, your brain starts shutting down. I can hear that. Your body starts shutting down when you speak those words out of your mouth. You said, what's the use of living? This is a very dangerous way to speak, because the Bible is still right. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. Some of us have spoken death over ourselves, and we are experiencing, I can hear about it, sicknesses and disease, which will ultimately lead to death if you don't repent for those words and cast them down.
In contrast, a person with a more aggressive attitude will turn to suicide as a radical solution. Such people may ask themselves, what's the use of living? However they were at, I might as well end it all. Listen, the latest figures for suicides among young people in America is frightening. Listen, because I'm about to talk on a subject that the black church don't want to talk about, which is depression. There's a lot of people coming to church, not only this house, but churches all over, that are depressed and they feel like they can't tell nobody because church folks are very judgmental. Ain't got no help. And then you're going to say some dumb stuff to me. Well, you just got to get over it. You just got to pray and fast about it. Yeah, I've done all that, but what happens when I still got it on me? It is retarded of you, Christian folks, Holy Ghost filled folks, to say some flipping stuff, scriptures, to say a lot of scripture. No, hallelujah. I may need to sit down with a psychiatrist and talk this thing. But the black church has taught us, you don't deal with no psychologist. You don't deal with no counselor. We don't deal. We just pray and fast, honey, and that thing gonna come on out. No, and hallelujah. Even after we cast the devil out, hallelujah, we still do that too. But you may still need to sit down and talk to a psychiatrist. The church has told us not to deal with counselors. I'm telling you, counseling, it may be a good option for you. I wish I had some real. I know you tongue talking, but after all them tongues, I can't hear about it. You still got to deal with you after we cast that devil out. And my goal here, one of my dreams here, is to have licensed Christian counselors on staff that after we get through casting the devil out, I can't hear about it, then we're going to send you right over, go see Dr. Stephanie Gardner. She's a psychiatrist. She deals with psychology. Go see, I can't hear about it, Stacy Jones. She deals with psychologists. I can't hear nobody say nothing. We need doctor. Everybody can't be a preacher, but somebody got to be a psychologist. The church should be a wholeness center. If you look in the Old Testament, I just got this. The tabernacle in the Old Testament was in the center. And the tribes were stationed around the tabernacle. The tabernacle was where God housed himself. I can't hear nobody say nothing. And now we have come where the tabernacle should be. I can't hear nobody. And we've kicked God on the outskirts. And so when you kick God out, all the other strange bedfellows start coming in. Look how this nation is so rampant. I can't hear nobody. Because we've kicked God out of every system. Even some of the churches. Listen, the latest figures for suicide among young people in America is frightening. More than 5,000 youth between the ages of 5 and 24 committed suicide in the 1990s. According to the National Center for Health Statistics, in most cases, the undiagnosed root cause for these suicides, rejection. They probably could not express it in words, but deep down, these young people felt unwanted and unimportant. I got some more statistics. Stacy, will you come on up on this stage and help me? I have a licensed counselor who's a psychologist. She has a degree in psychology. I can't hear nobody say nothing. Because Two weeks ago, I was in prayer, and I heard the Holy Ghost say, you're going to have to deal with depression. I said, what? I said, I don't know nothing about no depression. You know, I can pull up some statistics and all that other kind of stuff. You know, and I've dealt with depression myself, and I've overcome it. I can hear nobody say, I've overcome it.
Amen.
You can overcome it.
Yes.
You can overcome it.
Yes.
You can overcome it.
Yes.
Let me say it again. You can overcome depression.
Yes.
Let me say it one more time because y'all still gave me a laser hand clap. You can overcome depression.
Yes.
And guess what? I didn't have a counselor. Well, I kind of did. Her name was Stephanie Gardner. She was always using her psychology on me.
Yes.
So I technically did have
there you go.
A psychologist. To help you, sometimes you need a voice in your life that's going to, when you say stuff, you just say it how you feel.
Yeah.
But then you need somebody that's going to kind of help put things in perspective.
Yeah.
Because how you feel may be warped.
Yes.
I wish I had some help in here. I wish I had some real help. Listen. Depression. I pulled up this article on the web. Depression statistics everyone should know. Listen. Depression affects people from all walks of life. These two famous people that committed suicide, Kate Spade, worth millions of dollars. This other guy, what's the other guy's name? Who? Him, the chef. Making money. Celebrities. So that lets me know money. Y'all say, honey, if I had just had some money, I'd be good. But there are some people with money that still ain't good. Depression affects people from all walks of life. No matter what their background, it can affect people of all ages. So some of your children, parents, could they be depressed? You should be asking them what's going on in your life. You should be. But some of us, we're so preoccupied with our own stuff and we ain't got time to ask our kids about nothing. Because your life is a mess. Unfortunately, there's still, and I was talking to Stacy a few weeks ago and even yesterday about, I said, I want her to do a series on mental illness in the church. Because there are a lot of people in the church that have mental disorders. And we've got to attack this stuff in the church. The church should be the place where you learn everything. Whatever you didn't learn at home, you should be able to learn it at the church. The church should be, again, a wholeness center. Well, we deal with every facet of life. I can't hear nobody saying that. Even your personal hygiene, because some of you were not taught personal hygiene and how to clean yourself at home by your mama. Women and men. I'm the truth. I'm telling the truth. Some of y'all walking around here must is I don't know what. It's comical, but I'm telling you the truth. Because you were not taught at home. It's the truth. We have to have grown women conversation, even in the women's chat and chew, because some of you ladies were not taught, some men, you were not taught about personal hygiene, how to groom yourself. And so we got to teach everything. We got to teach Bible, and we got to teach you how to live. So listen, there's still a stigma that surrounds mental health issues, and some people view disorders such as depression as a weakness. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're just weak. Get it together. No. I got something internally that's wrong with me.
Right.
I need help.
Right.
Listen, but similar to the way anyone can develop certain physical health issues, mental health issues aren't always preventable. Understanding the latest depression statistics could increase awareness about mental health. Recognizing how widespread it is could also help reduce the stigma, which might encourage more people to seek treatment, seek help. Major depressive episodes. The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorder defines a major depressive episode at least 2 weeks of a depressed mood or loss of interest or pleasure in almost all activities, as well as at least five other symptoms, such as, listen, you got sleep issues on almost a daily basis. You either have difficulty sleeping or you're sleeping too much. In my case, when I feel depression, when I was feeling depression come on, sleep was my getaway. Yeah. It was like an escape. So I wouldn't have to deal with stuff. But as soon as you wake up,
right.
Hey, I'm still here.
Right.
Listen, change in appetite or weight. Yes. Change of more than 5% of body weight in a month, or a decrease or increase in appetite nearly every day. Listen, decrease energy or fatigue almost every day. Mm-hmm. Difficulty concentrating. Yeah. These are signs of depression. Yes. Making, you have a hard time making decisions. Somebody said, Lord. You can't even think clearly. You have trouble thinking clearly. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You have recurrent thoughts of suicide. You tried a suicide attempt, which I was thinking about doing it one time, and I'm like, Lord, and Howard asked me this question, and I really can't answer this question because I don't know. It's so controversial because it does not specifically say it in the Bible, and that's suicide. My thing was, I was always taught, if you commit suicide, you're going to hell. How many of us taught that?
Yeah.
There's no scripture that thou should not commit suicide. If it was in there, then it was like, oh, okay, well. But anyway, that is a controversial subject matter that I don't feel at liberty to discuss. I just stick with what I've been taught, and even though whatever. All right. Minister Stacy, thank you so much. Let's talk about this depression from a clinical aspect. How do you deal with people in your line of work with depression and all this other kind of stuff that we're dealing with, particularly depression?
Okay. So before I start, I just want to correct so everybody don't think. I'll just say this. I am getting ready to be licensed, praise the Lord. I took my exam, my practice test, so y'all pray for me. I'll be taking it in July or August, so I'll be licensed in the state of Texas. Praise the Lord. And then I'll start my doctoral program in January 2019, focusing on international psychology and building nonprofit organizations. So we're building the kingdom of God and healing his people. Amen? So when it comes to depression and working with individuals, I work with youth, young adults, and adults, and I worked with maybe about four or five married couples within the last two or three years. And so depression is a very big topic. It can be chemical. Mm-hmm. There can be a chemical imbalance. I've worked with individuals where if you have a chemical imbalance, I worked in a private practice in Louisville, where I was doing anger management with a young lady, but her son was diagnosed, and by the changing of his diet, the symptoms of the diagnosis, which was depression and ADHD, disappeared. And so you can literally change your diet and balance your body where you're thinking better. I don't know if you've ever experienced doing a fast or anything, like a Daniel fast, where you just feel better, you think clear, and so there's some times where you get a diagnosis or you're feeling a certain way, specifically with depression, where you can change it with your diet. So there is a chemical aspect of it. We're three parts. We're spirit, we're soul, and body. And so when we're talking about depression, we're talking about that second component and realigning that as far as how God created created us. And you can stop me or ask questions. So with working with depression with individuals depends on how I'll just give you a specific client. So there was a particular event where she was molested. Okay, so when I'm working with the client and they are depressed, I'm always tracking back to the event. We always want to go back to the first event. Really quickly, I want to show you this in the Bible. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 22 really fast. And so when we're talking about any mental issue, we have a spiritual self, we have a psychological and cerebral self, and we have a physical self. And sometimes we neglect that psychological cerebral self because we come in here and shout and we get happy, but we don't retrain our mind like Romans chapter 12 says.
Amen.
The Bible says in Proverbs 23, while you're going there, and then I'll go, we're going to verse 25. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, that as a man
think it.
That word think it is S-H-A-A-R, shar. In the Hebrew, that means calculate in your soul or calculate in your intellect, so is he. So if I can say that again, as a man calculates within his psyche, so is he. In counseling, we also have this theory that we go by. It's a very popular theory that a lot of counselors use an approach. It's called cognitive behavioral theory or cognitive behavioral therapy. And what we focus on is our thoughts are connected to our emotions, and our emotions are connected to our behavior. And so sometimes when I have a behavior or when I have a feeling, I have to go back to the thought. Let's go ahead and read this scripture really fast. This is connected to rejection, specifically with being sexually abused or raped or molested. Check this out. God gives us strategy on how to heal. Y'all, watch this. Is everybody there? Deuteronomy 22, 25, it says, but if out of the country a man happens to meet a young woman, pledged to marry her, and rapes her, only the man who has done this shall die. Let's go to verse 26. Do nothing to this woman. Now, God has given the consequences to this action. She has committed no sin deserving death. Now, check this out. This case is like that of someone who attacks or murders a neighbor. Let me read that one more time. This case, this action, molestation, rape, is as if someone has been attacked by their neighbor or murdered by their neighbor. Okay? So God is telling us in the book of Deuteronomy that molestation, rape is as you have been murdered. Now, the Hebrew translation for neighbor is family, sister, lover, husband, or mate. So psychologically speaking, if you were molested or if you were raped, cognitively speaking, it is as if a neighbor that you've been living by for 20 years, hey, how you doing? You watch their children grow. All of a sudden, they're inside of your house. Boom, they come and kill you. So the act or the event or molestation or rape is as if your neighbor came to murder you. Now, what are those thoughts that are produced from that action? Rejection. What else? Depression. Anger. You've grown up with this neighbor. And so the Bible is showing us specifically from molestation and rape, cognitively speaking, how your brain begins to work. So me, I'll give you an example and then you can stop me if you have questions or anything. I was molested by my uncle 5 or 6 years old. Later on in life, I was doing theophostic counseling, which is a more spiritual side of getting healed. I was laying there, and all of a sudden, I saw myself as a little girl and him in the act of, the event of molesting me. And the lady was walking me through it, and she was like, what do you see, and what do you feel? These feelings that I had, I didn't know that they were there until I had this deliverance. And this is why deliverance and inner healing is important, because once the demon is removed, the thought processes and the thought patterns have to be broken down and we have to replace them with others. So I was laying there and I said, I see myself. I was like, oh my goodness. And then she was like, what are you feeling? And one thing I didn't know came up was I felt like I was unprotected and there was nobody there to defend me. My grandma walked in the room while this was going on. This is real life. I'm not telling you a dreamer. This is real life. She walked in the room and she said, Stacy, and she called his name and she was like, what are you doing? 5 seconds later, she walked out. And there was a root of rejection and a root of not being protected that was in my soul that I didn't know. And I started creating thought patterns about myself and my whole life. I began to develop thought patterns as if I'm not accepted. And so that really caused me to live a lot of years in depression. That's crazy. And so there's going to be one more thing I was going to say. And then, Apostle, you can ask me questions because I want to get to really what you want to talk about on a psychological level. Now, when we're talking about depression and counseling and your mind, what happens is there's an event that happens. There's a circumstances of events that happens, or like Apostle talked about earlier, there is a family in which you're born in when those things or thought processes are just handed over to you as a gift. You know, my mama said, girl, I don't hug you. You better go over there. Mama love you. You know me. You know I love you because I buy you stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay. But the way that she act towards me was just planting seeds of rejection, planting seeds of depression, planting seeds of abandonment, planting seeds. And I never knew why I was so distant. I was so quiet until I went through deliverance and inner healing. And so I'll say this and I'll be done. When an event happens or something happens, there's a womb or there's a why, okay? Now, when I say event, this can be one thing or this can be a series of things or this can be something you're born into. So when something happens, there's an event, there's immediately a womb or there's a why. The womb is where the spirit enters. The why is where the stronghold enters, and I'll tell you why. When something happens in your psyche, you want to know why it happened. So the enemy has a plethora of reasons to give you. And so what happens is thought pattern after thought pattern after thought pattern begins to build, which begins to cultivate a stronghold. Now look at this wall. This whole wall right here, I wanted to represent a stronghold, okay? But this whole wall is made up of what? Bricks. And so brick after brick after brick after brick after pattern builds a whole stronghold, which builds a whole personality, which builds a whole reality. Your whole life of depression is a reality for you. It's in your personality. Well, that's who they are. No, that's not who they are. It's a whole lifetime of patterns that you built in your mind. And I've been in so many sessions where I have to ask, who told you that, baby? I've had people say, well, I'm not this. I'm like, sweetie, who told you that? No. That's rewinding. That's why Paul says to take every thought captive. There's some work that you have to do. And so after that demon comes, then we have to deal with your thought patterns. And then I go through this thing with my clients where we rehearse the truth because the Bible, and I'll say this, I promise I'm done, 30 seconds. The Bible is so psychological. And I'll tell you why. Because that's the component that's going to get us activated as people in the earth to release the kingdom of God. If I have a person who's saved, whose mind isn't correct, they can't implement the kingdom of God in its fullness. If I have a woman who's saved, but she's still insecure, she can't write that book to break a whole generation of bondage. If I have a preacher who's saved, but he doesn't have rejection removed out spiritually and mentally, he can't change nations because he's always on the other side of rejection. And so all throughout the Bible, be anxious for nothing. Paul says in Colossians, set your mind on things above. Amen. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your. The Bible is psychological, I promise you, because it has to get that soulish part aligned with the spirit so that the physical can implement the spiritual things in the earth. So.
Thank you for joining our podcast today. If you would like more information about our ministry, or if you would like to sow a seed, visit us at www.twfcdallas.org.